Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo.
Tonight we're going to be on the air with George Dixon when he calls in.
Yep.
After all, it's Friday.
Yeah, and just getting my switchboard back up here. Anyway, I wanted to, tonight we're going to introduce Bashar.
Yeah.
And that's a new one on
it. George sent us over some videos from a fellow channeling this entity, Bashar, and I watched a couple of them.
I watched a couple more. The last one was fascinating.
You got to see more than I did.
I got to see the number 7 and number 9 segments, and the number 9 segment blew you away. It's really, George was right. It gets better and better and better as you start to, and as you start to accept the entity as a person. Okay, talking to this person, and this person, you know, disclaims any real knowledge of what's.
Well, he doesn't really hear it all. He only gets affected.
He's like in a daydream. You know, he can't really make out, but he knows that it's all right. And he says it just channels. And he says it makes him feel real well.
Yeah, so he feels pretty energized.
He trades it off, and but this is what's happening.
I would have liked to have known a little more about where Bashar is from.
Well, if I could show... Oh, yeah, Bashar, he's from another planet.
They didn't say where.
Well, it talks
maybe
about...
Maybe it doesn't
matter. He didn't say that in the first part.
No, just said no.
And the second part, anyway, I thought he did. So one of them, he says, he talks about it. But what happens is this guy comes... He's like a normal kind of strange dude, not really, tall, not very... He's like egg-shaped kind of guy.
Average-looking fellow.
Really average guy.
He seemed like a nice guy when he talks, I thought.
Yeah, he could talk, he was articulate, and he introduces himself, but he has this strange blonde lady, probably his wife, introducing the act, if you will, but they're on a stage, and he's channeling this entity, and he has these huge quartz-looking lights on the around him.
I don't know what that was about. I wanted to ask.
I'm going to ask George.
He knows a little more about it than we do.
I forgot to bookmark the thing, and I wanted to go back. And I can get it. Just put in Bashar.
Did he come up there? Hi, George.
How you doing, folks? Hi, Lila.
Oh, hi. We're doing just fine. We had a little rain here, a few storms. Of course, rain, that's not an unusual thing.
Hey, we were basharing out here for a little while.
In what way?
In what way?
No,
I don't know.
We were just talking about it.
Yeah, because we were trying to figure out how to explain it, and we were explaining it to the when we started to open up the show.
He's a funny guy.
What's that?
He's a funny guy.
Yeah, I was thinking of possibly like one of those maybe next Thursday, I might play some of his stuff on Thursday night.
Now, George, where did you get acquainted with all of this? Was this recent, or have you been for a while?
Well, over the years, people have asked me if I've looked at his work or I know about him.
Uh-huh.
And I really didn't spend any time with him. And a good friend of mine sent me a link a while ago, and finally getting around to that link, I checked it out, and I thought it was some very interesting materials, and just the way it came across, it was good. I enjoyed it, but I think for me, in following the Mayan calendar in the sixth day. Mm-hmm. We've been talking, the last couple of months as part of this period of meeting our galactic neighbors.
Correct.
With Bashar, what Bashar is, he's a trans-channeler, and he channels this alien entity. And the alien entity basically is information and is very good material. A couple years ago, Leo, you remember Ken Akeley?
Yes.
Ken Akeley does work with a fellow, Michael Morgan, who channels an entity called Yokar.
Yeah.
and he is an Atlantean that basically is connected with Michael, and through Michael he channels, and you know, he talks a lot about the Atlantean culture. But with Bouchard basically is channeling. I mean, there's a person channeling this entity, and it's actually just another connection on a dimension higher than we are right now.
Okay. I didn't get a chance to listen to too much of it. Was there something significant that was meaningful to you, what he said? Anything in particular that really caught your attention?
Okay. One thing he did do, I think, in his first series of talks, was he talked about consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about light. And everything that we see actually is one light, and one proton, if you'd want to call it that. And from that light, you know, our world exists, and consciousness exists. So, if nothing, he has a lot to say, I think, with the unity understanding that we are all in unity with one another and also with the world, because the same energy that the light has, that the sun has, is the same energy that connects us together. We are all a piece of that. And with quantum understandings, you know, you can be two places at one time, or consciousness or energy can be two places at one time. So, you know, it's just another connecting flavoring that we have to this third-dimensional reality.
Well,
another one would be water.
Okay.
And, you know, we've talked about water, that, you know, we are made up of, we are water beings.
Right.
Let me ask you this, George.
No.
What Preston has, I had the connection here for a second.
His machine, sound machine?
Yeah, well, he said that, we're talking about Preston Nichols, for those who, he's a friend of George's, and...
I think we mentioned last week that we were going to a workshop that he put on, where he was actually demonstrating his new sound system that he's been working on for years.
I guess it's appropriate to talk about it here.
Yeah.
I would say that it makes a lot of sense. But I think that...
What did Preston say that you were gonna?
Well, it was when Bashar was talking about the different not dimensions, but the different
realities.
Okay, the seven different realities.
Yeah.
That what his machine did, and it did it for me, was to transcend all seven realities into an infinite. Power into an infinite state, you know, and that's how I felt. It was like I felt after going through that experiment with that sound, especially in the beginning there, not the last song, but that beginning song that we played with the Indian drums.
Yeah.
I felt my spirit thing, and you said you felt the same thing, and Lila did as well, and I believe John did as well. And all a sense of,
well,
of flight. Okay,
well, I have to explain to our listeners what you're talking about. We went to visit a friend of George's, Preston.
Oh, kind of a friend of ours.
Yeah, really. Well, he's now a friend of ours.
Preston, yeah.
And oh, I did too. And he's kind of an unusual fellow and an inventor, and he's very interested in sound. He worked with music.
Well, the thing is, the guy's brilliant. Not only is he brilliant, he was the sound director for...
he developed the Wall of Sound.
The Wall of Sound of Phil Spector.
Phil Spector,
right.
Which was really...
Yeah, he was this is the guy that
the go-to guy for all that stuff.
I mean, he was the guy that built it, right? He said Spector had some wild ideas, but he needed somebody to...
Make it happen.
Make it happen, and he found this guy at 18 years old, right? He'd been working on sound... equipment since he was 12, and you know, got involved with them, and got involved with the Beatles, and you know, in fact, he stated that Paul McCartney was actually in that same chamber that we were in. Came to visit him over there to experience his machine.
Anyway.
And it was like, it was like, so we were, so
let's
basically,
talk about the machine,
yeah,
though.
So when we were in there, it was pretty, it was, he played drums.
Let's explain a little more. What happened was that the sound was set up so it came out to you in a triangle form,
right,
basically, and it enhanced your sound experience. And Preston, of course, or George could explain it even better. But you would lay on a bed and be really comfortable. And you would be at the apex of a triangle,
right,
with the sound coming, and it was just a great experience, and some lights overhead. And
actually, even George Harrison, he said, had been in that sound. Not in that. I don't think he's been in that particular one, but he did this sound experiment with George Harrison, right? When he first found the technique and the way. That's unbelievable. It was a great experience.
Well, what did you think about that that experience, George?
I enjoyed the experience, and it was really the second time for me. Let me explain to our audience. I think what we're talking about here. We're talking about a machine that not only duplicates whatever you're feeding into it, a record or a tape and so forth, it reproduces the sound. Now, with Preston and his machinery, he is from the old school, and he uses vacuum tube amplifiers and so forth, equipment, wherever he can, because it's you get a pure reproduction of the sound. Now, what he's done is you have to understand that during the recording, or when you're recording something like that, you're actually picking up the sound, but you're also picking up the finite fields that are produced, you know, by the sound producers. So what you're actually doing is that you're hearing a reproduction of the sound that they're playing, but you're also experiencing what they were feeling during the recording. So you're not only picking up the sound, you're picking up the energetics of the producer or the artist that you're hearing. So in understanding this equipment, when you hear the sound or you hear the song or whatever, you pick up not only the beautiful music, but you also pick up the feelings of everybody who was performing or the people that were performing. And what Leo is explaining here is not only with the music that he heard, the drums, as a Native American song, I believe, but he actually felt himself, you know, in that environment and, you know, felt the feelings that a Native American would feel at the time.
Yeah.
The first time I experienced his machinery, I was listening to Glenn Campbell and the Wichita Linemen. It's a system where you sit back and you have earphones on, and you really get a nice reproduction. But as I was listening to this Wichita Lineman, I went off in center field, and I was thinking about him, and I seen him angry, and I seen him fighting, and I seen him with drugs, and it's like a screwed up person. But the fact was during the time of the recording on that, he was having a lot of problems in his life, in his marriage, and he also had a variety TV show, I believe, around the times. But I actually felt what he was feeling when he recorded that. So what this machine does is that it amplifies the emotional feelings that were produced when they recorded that song or that music.
Well, what was that other song you did? I forget. Something about Phoenix.
Phoenix?
Time I get the Phoenix, you'll be rising.
Yes.
On the door.
No.
Yeah, that was his, that was like his second biggest hit.
Uh-huh.
By the time I get to Phoenix.
Time I get to Phoenix?
Yeah, by the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. She'll wonder what I can't remember.
Were you talking about Glenn?
Yeah, Glenn.
I was thinking he's never one of
them. But I remember that. Those two songs.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that guy made a living on those two songs for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm. Right? Good for him.
And a lot of people bought those records. But that's what I was saying is that that was your experience with that.
Yes.
Mine was though I felt like I became an eagle. I felt like an eagle. I felt like I was bird like in that I was sitting on I was perched or I was on the ground or somewhere on a mid sized perch and staring out at a lake, all right, with trees around it, you know, like a cave, not a cave, but like a tunnel, but one of trees, okay, all on the side, and the sky is open to blue, and then you see a big mountain, and you see, the lake and the mountains and the top of a mountain, and then blue skies. And I saw myself taking off, actually just sitting there looking at the site as that music was rolling and the drums were beating and the sound of the forest, all right, where they had the sound of birds and so on in the forest and running water and so on. Along with the ancient drums, boom, 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 you know. And that, what happened is the minute, like almost, I'd say almost 10, maybe 10 to 20 seconds, about 20 seconds to the end of the of that song before it ended, right? The drum beat stopped and then you just had this sound of birds, right? And sound, the full sound of the immediate area, and you were intensely aware, visually, audio-wise, as well as your senses, your touch and your smell and your and you kept and I was just flying. I started to fly, and as I started to fly upwards, I started to be able to reach to the mountain. And as I flew, I kept flying, and I kept expanding, and my wingspan kept expanding until I became like a, I felt like I was encapsulated in a plasma that was encompassing the world or the entire scene, and that just kept expanding and expanding and expanding out into the universe, and that power, had the song lasted a little longer, okay, I don't know where I would have went, you know what I mean? Because it was just an overwhelming vision. And Lila had a unique vision as well. And you did too, George.
Mm-hmm.
So I've only been on trips like that a few times in my life, all right? And they were, say, extremely significant. So,
well, George, do you think if you had, earphones on and you were listening to music that... was being played in an intense way with modern technology, that the same thing would happen and you were concentrated?
I don't understand, I think, what your question is.
If you are listening to music today with the modern technology,
yes,
and you're thinking that you could be transported just like the way we were with Preston's,
yes.
Do you think the same thing would happen with music today, with the technology that they have? Or do you think there was something more special about the way Preston had that set up?
Well, I think the way he had it set up, there's no special way other than what he was actually was reproducing energy.
Mm-hmm.
And with myself, now I've known of this technology for, 20 years now, and I've watched it in motion, and even with Preston. Preston is co-author, I think, of the Montauk Project, the series of books. There's a 7 of them, I believe. But he goes into some of his works and also some of the the black works or the secret works, you know, of mind control and so forth. And basically, it's dealing with the same understanding. Now, with being an empath, you know, it's very easy for me to listen to a recording and pick up the energetics that was produced during that recording. You know, it's just being able to meditate and concentrate and focus in on that energy or that frequency. And, you know, it's something that I normally wouldn't do unless it has my attention and I want to give it energy. But, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a strain because the body goes through not only the thinking process connected with it, but also the emotional, the feeling aspect of it. So, you know, I enjoyed the experiences of Preston's equipment, but it was like running three marathons in experiencing it because, you know, it takes a lot on not only the mental body, but also the physical body. And it's some great stuff. The only thing this does is just boost up the abilities that we have, and it's a lot easier for me to sit back and, you know, have somebody do the work or the meditation to get into a state and so forth, even though it's not that big of a deal now. But, you know, give it to somebody else and, you know, they'll start up the generators and so forth, and they'll get you going. All you got to do is sit back and enjoy the ride.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But this is, you know, this is part of what we've been experiencing in the last 20 years also, I think, with the sublineal influences that we experience. You remember that movie, They Live?
No. Who was in that?
I think, I don't know if that's the right title on it. It had the a wrestler, I think, Roddy Piper or something, and it was talking about the movie was about aliens, but you didn't see them as what they were because they were emanating a certain signal, which was an illusionary effect. Anyways, I don't want to get off on into a tangent with that. But it's just part of the influences we experience, not only mentally but also physically, and that's through pumping up the volume.
Hmm. Well, it was an interesting experience at Preston's, and I'd like to do it again sometime when I'm over that way. I found
it
an interesting.
Yeah. Stop by and
yeah.
Have some brain therapy, you know.
Well, if nothing else, it's just the latest technology, you know, and using it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could see having many of these parlors, if you will, spas. Okay, you could have like a little parlor. You don't need a large office. And you could incorporate this into a holistic
meditation center
yeah,
like a tanning salon, right?
Even a store like
at the mall
like a spa, you know, a little mini spa where you have this and it rejuvenates you, you know, and you get out of it and it's you know, and you could actually, it doesn't take up that much room. That you can actually put it in a place and actually direct that sound.
We'll continue the thought a little bit further. How about something you could put on your wrist, like a wristwatch?
Well, that or through an iPod kind of thing, through something where you you can put it in with your earphones.
Hey, how about a microchip under the skin?
Yeah, right.
I will leave that up to you.
But you know, how far can you take this?
Well, I don't know. Before I left, I asked him one question, and because I was so fascinated by what I experienced, and I asked him, I said, "Is it possible?" I said, "Is it possible?" responsible for you to create the perfect to create perfect communication through the media, through radio or through radio or through the internet, you know. And he said, I said, perfect communication where emotion, intellect, and empathy are all in one. You know what I mean? And you, so in other words, you know exactly what that person's stating, feeling, and believing at the same time as he talks, all right, or as she talks, or as, you know, they talk together. And what it does is it cuts out the lies. It cuts out everything, because you can tell immediately through that vocal communication, or that pure channel, if you will, of communications, that if somebody is bullshitting you, or if somebody is real, or if somebody is theory or whatever it may be, it can be explored and expanded on, and is worth.
Well, Leo, why do you need a machine to do that for you when you do that yourself?
I can't, because I don't have that technology.
No. You see, that's where you're wrong.
I don't have a PhD in this stuff, you know.
Like, no. Leo,
yeah.
you have feelings, or you have an understanding. It's like walking into a room. You know you're going to like this person. You're not going to like this person. But intuitively, you know, you have a feeling. So why do you need a machine to do this for you when you can do it yourself? It's just a matter of using it and familiarizing yourself with the faculties you have.
And I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is that if you actually have a machine like that, okay, that can instantaneously take you to another, to an altered state or an altered dimension, then you are definitely.
But Leo, why would you want to give that power over to a machine when you have it already?
Oh yeah, I suppose you're right, but I don't know where it is yet. I don't know how to get there from here.
Oh no, you know where it's at. It's inside of you, my friend. You know, just like, you know, your thinking or your intuition is much faster than the speed of light. It's like you know before a person says something what she's going to say, because before she even says anything, she's feeling what she's going to say, and that feeling you're going to read is because it's another form of communications. You're going to feel what she thinks and how she feels.
That's right. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you know, why give that ability over to a machine to do it for you when, you know, you have the properties yourself to do that, and you do use that?
Well, that's true. That's very true. All I care about is to go back to where I was when I was stretched out there and for the last 30 seconds or so of that flight. And
yes.
I would like to return to that, and I haven't really, but I've seen it. I've seen it hundreds of times since it happened in my mind, in that place and that feeling. But I've not yet I haven't been able to recapture that peace that I had, that sweetness, that oneness.
Yeah.
You know, that I had at that moment. And that's what I'd like to go back to, because from there, soaring into an infinite light, basically, was just a pleasant experience, and one that I'd, you know, love to be able to reproduce every day, you know, continually.
Now, George, getting back to Bashar, who is channeled.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, where we kind of started out. Have you ever channeled anybody? And if so, how has that experience been for you?
Well, this is going back a long, long, long time ago. In my youth, For years, I worked a spiritualism seance table.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I went through, you know, I'm going back in the early 70s,
mm-hmm.
where I was invited to the spiritual frontier, I think, in Manhattan, which was a small group of people in the paranormal world. But there wasn't too many at that time around there who grouped together and talked about metaphysics.
Mm-hmm.
And I was invited to go to a seance, which was being was conducted by a group of spiritualists, Latino spiritualists, in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a it is spiritualism, but it's a Christian spiritualism. The very very deeply rooted Roman Catholics were involved with this.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a long story short, that invitation, they asked me to join them, and for 3 years I was in initiation with them through the process of understanding spiritualism and working a table once a week. We would meet every week, and there were seven of us, and there were seven psychics, mediums, and each one would go into their trance, into their states, and connect with their with their guides and so forth. And you know, it's through that group I learned a lot about spiritualism, but also about healing and human nature. And it was a heartwarming experience. I learned to go into a trance and connect with spirits, and have them talk to me or use me as a vehicle. I think it was years where, you know, I after leaving, you know, I would incorporate that, I think, into my knowledge and, you know, into my own personal use. I never really sat down to work an open table, because it wasn't my nature. It just wasn't. I didn't feel right with it. So I remember one time in connecting, going into a trance, I think, during a UFO grouping. It was a small grouping, and I caught myself about 10 minutes into it. And I told myself at that time, you know, it's going to be from a conscious state. If there is any communicating or channeling that, you know, I will perform. My guides have left me basically by myself, and I don't use an intermediate. If I experience something on you know, a psychic level or a spiritual level, you know, I'll integrate it into my physical level or my physical reality at the time. So, you know, I see the best of both worlds, you know, at the same time, and right now I'm just grounded in this world. And that doesn't mean that, you know, I don't partake in alternate dimensions, because I do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in channeling, that's the extent that I get involved with channeling. What I like about Bouchard is that, you know, the material is very good. And it's from, let's say, not an alien point of view, but it's an alien understanding of knowledge as we know it. And it's only been in the last 30 years or so that our academic community has really come up to speed with the information that is coming out now that we didn't have at that time. It's like understanding everything before the computers. When the computers, I'm talking about from 1960 before, you know, it's amazing how it opened our eyes to things. The Bible code is one example. It wasn't until we developed a computer that we could decode the Torah for what it is, and if nothing else, that there is a type of a code to it, along with many other things. I think, if nothing else, that's just an index of the knowledge that we had way back then.
Right.
But when I say we back then, it also deals with other creative consciousness, or you know, aliens and so forth.
I can tell you that I got my earliest introduction to channeling, or my earliest experiences, was when I was in my 20s. And you still there, George?
Yes, let's do here. I'm sorry.
But it was in my 20s, and we're kind of about the same age. And I sense that from there, and I've channeled many entities, many different ones, and I've written volumes of journals of them, many of them, the first entity that I can really, that ever really gave its name was one named Athos, A-T-O-S. And I actually drew a picture of him. I could visually see him, and he talked with a very deep, commanding voice, but yet very friendly, and he was athletic looking, you know, guy, and he blonde, you know, very very light hair, almost white hair, and he said he gave me instructions, basically, that I followed, because he was so authoritative I actually followed it, that advice, and in my early 20s, I think it was, I can't remember but exactly the time, but I altered my eating habits. I altered my and I changed my interests, became more spiritual, and in the sense of the things that he guided me to. And then I lost track. Then he faded out, and then other entities came in over periods of time when I was kind of seeking an answer or something, or reading something or whatnot, and then all of a sudden, you know, this entity will begin to talk or begin to speak to me, and at that point, I find myself going into a trance and actually writing this stuff down, but not fully a trance. Then later I can come back and talk to the spirit. I can have a dialogue with that person, and I write my questions down as well. And responding, and I got involved with that because I was being flooded with a series of different spirits, and what happens is that sometimes, I guess, when something is like Maria, for instance, when you're intuitive, or when there's a path to you somehow, something ripped in the, you know, dimensional curtain or something, around you, suddenly there, you get a flood of these spirits, guides, you know, different entities, some evil too, some bad, some, you know, but you can tell, as long as you're...
See, there's so many different levels and so many different types and so forth. It's like aliens. Any thought forms that have been put in motion that have some life behind it, you know, is a world within itself. The one problem there is that, you know, you're tapping into another dimension, let's say.
Yeah.
But, you know, that other dimension has different overtones to it, and, you know, they're all different from one another.
Right.
So, you know, it's jumping back and forth, you know, from one reality to another reality. And when you do that, you experience it not only mentally, but also physically. It's draining on the body.
Oh, it really is, because time it's done, I kind of, I'm extremely exhausted. And,
well, you know, it's also the level, you know, that you're channeled into, or the knowledge and so forth. And I'm saying it is good for information on whatever subject or whatever frequency that, you know, you're locking into. But there are other means.
I try to follow our friend Maria's advice.
And what is that?
She says that you should ask for the highest and best.
Yes.
Like before I do, you know, if I'm working with someone and before they come in, or in the morning if I have a few minutes before I work and get things set up at school, I take just a few minutes to ask for that help, highest best information that I can have to someone in the direction so they can fix whatever they need to fix.
Now, Lila's a counselor, so it's like
And that's how I use that. And sometimes I get these inspirations that I know that are not from me. I always think of them as from God.
Mm-hmm.
How to help someone.
Well, when certain things work, I mean, when the right things happen in a very, very difficult situation. And those are relating that to her, but also relating it to my own life, my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like you're at a crossroad where you absolutely have no idea which way to go, you suddenly shut down and ask to be led by the highest and with the best motives.
And the highest and the best motives, on what scale? You know, that's kind of vague.
And I don't trip and fall off this thing. You know what I mean? In other words, I don't want to let it.
Fall doing what?
When I can be led to the right way through faith, through faith and enough belief in myself. Okay, that I'm going to make the right decision, that I do make the right decision.
And what is the right decision?
Whatever the right decision is. You know what I mean? Whatever that decision is.
And what is that?
If you set your course during the day, and you'll come across 100 different obstacles, regardless of, I don't know, anything from starting a lawnmower to writing a...
Obstacles to what? Obstacles to what?
To the road, to a pathway, on your path. They're obstacles. They're method.
But why are they obstacles?
At a time in front of you, one brick at a time in front of you, one brick at a time. You know, and as you keep going, because if you just jump off, you don't know where you're going. You know what I mean? So it's like at least you are standing on each brick that you're laying.
No, let's go back, Leo. What is those obstacles that are standing your way from achieving whatever it is?
I don't know, George. It could be anything in the course of a day.
Then why are you putting obstacles in front of you, stopping you from that?
I'm not. I'm not putting obstacles.
Yes, you are.
Those are there. I don't have any.
They're there because you're putting obstacles there, and for something you don't know what the hell is. You have to be aware of. You're building the obstacles, before you get there.
No,
but I'm asking you, what are the obstacles for?
No, I don't have any clue what's out there waiting. All I do is just plod along.
Maybe you got to find a clue and what the hell it is that you're going after.
Well, I know what I'm going after, but I'm saying I have to plod carefully along because.
What do you mean by carefully along?
Yeah.
You just can't go along. You have to go carefully.
I don't know. I have to learn these things. I have to.
No, you just put one foot in front of the other. What's there to learn?
I don't know, George.
No, I think it's the mentality.
I
that we are caught up in this logical illusion that we must follow, and if we don't,
I know. But as long as I, as much as I want to believe, there's still that. Hint of doubt, okay?
That it's coming from your own mind?
That's right, okay? And there's that hint of doubt that you're going, am I just crazy or where am I headed here, right? But most of the time, that advice leads you in the right direction or that, whatever it is you're calling upon, that power that you're calling upon, power of the universe.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, after a while, you're going to get sick and tired of having building these obstacles in front of you, and just go and jump off. Is that what you're saying?
Where do you jump to?
Well, you jump to the side of the obstacles because you don't want it.
do it right now. But I mean, I don't want to wind up being a, you know, I don't want to be a body crashing on the sidewalk, you know.
Who said that you're going to be a body crashing on the sidewalk?
Yeah. Fly off the building now, Leo. You know, it's like, okay. Yeah, we're 100 stories up. Oh, well. Okay. Leo, it's all right. Don't worry about it. You'll be safe.
You just got to watch those damn obstacles, because before you know it, you spend more time on those and walking cautiously that you forget your initial objective. Objective is to go to the Dairy Queen and have an ice cream cone.
one of the best examples of faith, though, that I ever saw in the movies was Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I think it was the Last Crusade. And they were. Did you see that movie?
The Last Crusade?
Yeah.
No.
With Harrison Ford and what's his name? Indiana Jones.
Yes. No, I didn't see that one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got to see that one. God, they were after the Holy Grail. It was perfect, and they found the Holy Grail. But that whole movie was based upon faith, one's faith. And,
okay.
And how, in the finding of the Holy Grail, and the Holy Grail was actually, it was a carpenter's cup. It was a cup, all right? But you'd have to see the end of the show to see the thing, and it was really brilliant, but the way they did it. But they did find it, and they gained immortality, because they drank from the cup. And they wrote out Happy Ever After, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, until they did Indiana 4. You know, I didn't bother seeing that one. But I forgot.
You know, Leo, in understanding faith, what is faith?
What I wanted to tell you was that portion that happened was Indiana Jones was standing on a cliff. He was following these clues from the Masonic or Knights Templars and so on.
Yeah.
And he led him to this place with the Holy Grail. And he was standing on top of it. He was standing overlooking this huge crevasse,
yes,
huge crevasse in this cave. And it just let down, like it almost looked like the Grand Canyon, right? And he had to get, the instructions that he was given, or the map that he had found, was to go from to go across this crevasse, but there was no bridge,
right?
And there was no way to get across, and the only way to get across was by faith, okay? Faith alone. So what he did is he looked at, and he had to go because what happened was is that his father was dying. One of the Nazi guys shot his father, right? And said, you go find this thing, all right, and get through this map. He says, and we'll be here. And he says, you got about, the way we shot him, you got about 30 minutes, all right, to make it happen. So he had to go through all of this and get to find the Holy Grail and bring it back to his father before his father died. So in other words, to make a long story short, he in faith is what he did. And he took that. He took a step right into the canyon. Stepped right into the canyon.
Into the crevasse.
Yeah. But what happened was, is it was an illusion.
Uh huh.
The created illusion, and it was actually it was a glass across the crevasse.
There you go.
And the glass bridge, and then when he saw that, when he took that step, he realized he didn't fall. He saw that it was that there was a solid structure there that he just couldn't see.
Yeah, there you go.
And then what happened was he got on the bridge, and he was there, and he got to see at a certain angle, and then he could see the whole bridge right in front of him.
Yep.
Right, and that across to the other side of the crevasse, and that was what that was that leap of faith, you know.
There you go. That's what I was saying,
yeah,
Leo. Going back to faith, what is faith?
Static moment, you know.
What is the faith that he experienced? What happened? What
he
was
he,
what,
he had total faith in the universe that he was.
And what happened? What came out of that faith?
Immortality, his own immortality. They found the Holy Grail. They drank from the Grail. He saved his father and
Leo, now let's back up a bit.
Never
through
happened.
Faith, he walked across that crevasse on a bridge that he didn't see before, but it was through faith that he experienced the knowing of faith. What came from faith is knowing that he can walk across that to the other side.
Right.
And it's through faith that the illusion can be made or experienced.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're going to keep putting those fucking obstacles in front of you. Excuse my French here, but that basically is what you're doing. So, you know, faith is believing, yes, I don't, you know, above everything else, you know, true faith will get me through. And that's what faith leads to.
Yeah, I guess so. But anyway, I don't know how we got on that subject right now. I'm trying to backtrack here.
We're talking about energies and different dimensions of beings you experience along the way, thought forms, meditation.
One of those segments by Bashar that he said understanding this energy understanding, he says, understanding the creation of an illusion, or a reality, I think. Understanding the creation of a reality is when you go from A to B and A to B, 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 you know, C, A, B, C, A, B, C, A, B, C, you know, that kind of thing. Where you go, but he says it's like playing the lotto. He says it's you're saying to yourself, I want to win, I want to win, I want to win. You know what I mean? Let me win, let me win, God let me win, God let me win, God let me win. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're chanting. And he says, and as you're basically chanting, he says, when you're thinking, and as you're thinking, he says, the person that chants the greatest and creates the best creates himself as a true winner of the lotto. He says, you know, $200 million or whatever. You know, he says, you can only do that by emerging into that person who wins the lotto. He says, mm-hmm. It means that if you don't win, it means that you don't have enough focus. You're not focusing enough on winning. You don't really want to win. The other things are more important, but you like the fun it gives you, to the chance that you could win. Right, and as you sit there and you meditate on your number,
you know, he mentions that power is the illusionary factor, just like the lottery or gambling. The power is behind whoever is putting that illusion together.
Right.
But your individual power is not falling under their illusion, but you are falling under your illusion.
Yeah, exactly. You're creating your own illusion, and you're...
That's right, instead of falling under their illusion.
That's right.
By hoping, you know, you may be the one winner out of 300 million or something like this.
That's right, but you're wrapped up in your own belief of your own, that you won, and so you start creating in your mind.
That's right, and living out that that illusion fulfilled.
That's right, illusion fulfilled. Walking up, accepting your prize, you know, taking the money and living... with, you know, $100 million or something.
That's the mystery of life, my friend.
Your taxes, yeah. I mean, it's like, it'd be wonderful.
I don't know about the taxes. But that's the American way, and that's the illusion of life that we live.
$10. I'm going to give you $200 million, but I'm going to take back $100 million. It's going to go into taxes. But here's, we're going to give you $100 million tax-free.
There you go.
I think I'd take that. deal. You know that?
Yeah, would you?
I think I would, George.
Okay.
You know, because I just think I would. That would be a pretty good deal. Don't you think? $100 million, cash, tax free. But no, I sense that that's how we have to create our reality, and I try to do that. But he's absolutely right. We don't have the faith or the enough interest.
You see, you can't try to do something. You got to do it. There's no trying involved. Either you do or you don't.
And not only do you have to do it, the way to do it is absorb yourself into it. You know,
that's
what I mean?
Right.
The way to do it correctly is absorb yourself into it and be absorbed into it. And then and you become it. And I had a wonderful book once. I gave it to a friend, and I never got it back yet. It's been about 5 years. But by the way, George, I got a whole bunch of books to give you back. All right. So remind me. I'm gonna be bringing some up to you on the 4th of July.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, that sounds great. That sounds great.
You only gave me 40 days on one of those books, and it's been past. It's overdue. And
I don't want to leave Preston out. You know, we started out with him. Other than I will say that I believe Preston now is getting ready to. I think it's Bozix's machine, and you'll be hearing a lot more about it. You know, I'm sure from his publisher, but also, you know, from other areas of publication. Okay. And, you know, I'm anxious to see how the public takes this machine.
Good.
So, you know, I just want to leave out there more to come with Preston.
Well, I'd like to get you and our Preston on one night and possibly you on at the same time. Maybe we could do that next week or the following Friday.
Oh, there we go. Preston and I are old friends. We've done radio 20 years ago.
Yeah,
and, you know, also we were a part of organizations. In fact, the psychotronics chapter on Long Island, Preston and myself and a few other people were actually the initiators in opening the chapter there. And a lot of work was done, you know, in the psychotronics field, including radionics and so forth, but that's altogether a different subject in holistic healing. But it's using frequencies and energies of the body. And if nothing else, that's what Burchard is leading to, an understanding that everything is frequency, everything is energy. And we've been talking about that for a few years on this show, Leo.
Yeah.
And it's another factor that is connecting us not only with our own intellect, but also with alien intellect. And in his case, he's an alien, but he's communicating on this third dimensional level through channeling.
Okay. Oh, by the way, we got 1 minute remaining in the show, so
we're
already up. So anybody want to join us or have a question, please call.
Just a comment.
Please call 646-915-9505. 646-915-9505. We'd love to hear from you. We got about, I don't know, let's see, 1 minute remaining, it says. So, yes, George, anything that, we'll see you on the 4th of July anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
And I'm also looking forward to
it. Is it today that it's your birthday or tomorrow?
No, it was a couple days ago.
Oh, it was. Oh, I
yeah, it was.
I sent you a card.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, you should be getting it tomorrow.
Okay, that's good.
I sent it out a day or so ago, I thought you'd get it by today.
Uh-huh.
It's a different state, so you know, maybe it takes three or four days to get there.
You know, it's funny, we didn't talk about the politics that's been going on in the country this week and so forth, but, you know, it's getting interesting, it really is, and I just wonder what the summer will bring.
But anyway.
I'm looking at it positively now, folks, I want you to know that.
We got 20.
I really feel that
Sure.
You know, things aren't as bleak as everybody points them to be.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention we got 9 seconds remaining, 7, before we close our stream here. 646-915-9505 if you want to talk to us. If not, we wish you a pleasant evening. And, okay, go ahead, George. We're not streaming now, but we're recording.
Okay, well. Well, you know, I'm anxious to see what the weather patterns are going to be this summer too, because they started out got a little screwy.
Yeah.
When I say screwy, across, you know, with these wind storms and rain storms that's been coming through the mid plains of the states, and these guys have been hammered, and hail that these storms are producing have devastated a lot of the crops, the agricultural crops.
We're getting a lot of today and tonight we got storm warnings up here.
Yeah,
and
it's
flood,
severe.
Severe and flood warnings too.
Uh-huh.
The sun seems like a foreign thing almost. We hardly see it anymore.
Correct. Yeah, it poked out for, I don't know, did it poke out today at all?
No, yesterday, but not today.
Not long though, maybe half a day.
Hmm.
And then I caught it all up again.
I try to keep up with what's going on. You know, with the earthquakes around the world, at least once a week, but I haven't been able to check out the recent quakes. But
no.
my friend was telling me that they're having a lot of quakes down in Texas, outside Dallas, I believe. And he said like there were 7 or 8 of them, you know, in a matter of 2 weeks, never have earthquakes.
Is there like a fault line or something there?
Must be.
I don't know. You know, I was. He was curiously asking. You know, could it possibly be the wells, the oil wells that they drilled out there, and maybe some of them are settling, or maybe the gases inside of it, you know, are escaping or releasing pressure.
Or they could be collapsing too.
Yeah, possibly. You know, it doesn't surprise me, but I've been watching. You know, the whole Pacific Ring, and it has been very active. And I haven't really spent too much time in focusing in on Mother Nature here, but you know, part of understanding this time that we're in is there are a lot of abnormalities, you know, within our solar system, but also within our sun, the sunspots, and so forth.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting more.
Yes, more and more.
Spirits and energy from other places that are positive. Let me add that.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to be positive. They're going to be negative too, dear. So you're going to have to take, you know, the good with the bad. But that doesn't mean you have to dwell in it.
I only want to connect with the good.
Okay.
That's how it's going to be for me.
Me too. So anyway, George, I'm going to, might as well, I don't know.
We'll call it a night.
Call it a night? All right. And, you know,
enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah.
All right, you also, folks, and I'll be thinking about you, and I'm looking forward to next week.
Oh, me too.
Okay. Well, God be with you, and I'll be speaking with you.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah, we'll call you tomorrow or something.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
See you later. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a good time. And, you know, thanks. And join us right here again next week. When we discuss on Wednesday night, and we discuss news and all, and we have an interview with somebody. And next week, I believe we're going to have Larry Dorman of the Astro Union on. And then next Thursday, I think I'm going to do some of the Bashar. Speeches are, and I'll have him, I'll run some of those tapes for next Thursday night's show. And of course, Friday night we'll be talking with George Dixon again. So that's all next week. Tell your friends about us if you like what we do, and you can check us out. You know, check our archives out, please. There's almost 400 programs there. So I hope you enjoy. Thank you, and have a pleasant evening.